Now, certain features of the structure as presented here have implications for the manner and the time order of steps in the development of language. We'll consider, first of all, the arising of elementary sentences. In the analysis presented here, sentences are created by a partial order of words in respect to their combinability, meaning in their combinations. If so, words and varied combinations of them have to have existed before this partial ordering developed, since the sentences are regularization of the combinations. If some words get to be used more and more with words of a particular informal set because it makes sense that way, for instance, eat might be used with word pairs like child and berry. I'm trying to be primitive, you see. More than eat would be used alone, and more than it would be used with word pairs like walk, sleep, to say walk, eats, sleep, or something of the sort, then it is not hard to see that the occurrence of eat would come to be specially connected with the occurrence of those word pairs, the ones that it does indeed occur with, to such an extent that each occurrence of eat would be understood as associated with the pairs that are in use with them. So much so that if it occurs without them, then those words or words like them would be implicit. That if one says eats, then one would understand that somebody is eating something and so forth. But further, that if words which are not said with them, like walk, eat, sleep, would under these circumstances, once one is accustomed to what eats occurs with, then walk, eat, sleep would not only be something that is not said, but if it ever were said, it would be counter to expectation. It would in effect be wrong. This is standardization. That is, eat, one can see, was standardized. We know it because by now it has been standardized. It is standardized to the point of institutionalization, something which is not unknown in social behavior. And since, for eat, the rejection of such words like walk was due to the lack of occasion for use, lack of making sense, then the requiring of other words like child and berry, such pairs, was due to the fact that eat made sense with them and was being said about them. This is approximately, as we see it today, the meaning of this relation of the partial order. It is a meaning of saying something about or predicating about. Now, so much for the first elementary sentences, which had to have something existing before them, namely a respectable stock of words and word combinations. Now, to take a jump to the dependence on dependence relation. This is something else again, because the dependence of a particular word, like eat, a first-level word, on particular other words, zero-level words, like child and berry, is a relation among words. It could be viewed as a relation in a list of words, of eat to a certain list, of some other words to another list, and so forth. The dependence of a second-level word, such as continue, on a first-level word, as you see in the child's eating berries continued, for instance, is also a relation between words. But as we know language now, one can easily show that the relation of dependence is not a dependence on lists. It is the dependence on the dependence properties of words. Now, this is a generalization of what is actually being done. If you look at the words, they have indeed such lists. The lists fit the dependence on dependence properties, but one does not define eat by a list of words. New words come in and go out and so forth. One wouldn't want to define eat by a list of words. They are defined by a property. The property, the realization, not the realization, because nobody ever had to realize it, but the generalization of this property had to come after the actual practice, after the situation when there were lists of words involved. We thus have stages in the development of language. There had to have been, as we just saw, there had to have been words and word combination before there were sentences. there had to have been elementary sentences before there were expanded sentences. That is to say, first level words had to have been used in sentences before second level words were used in sentences. How do we know? Because the expanded sentences contain the elementary sentences. They're not simply derived from them, they contain them. So the others had to exist prior. The dependence-on-dependence relation as a generalization could only have been made after the practice had already come to exist, as we just saw. Reductions could only have become a general method after all unreduced base sentences were constructible. They didn't all have to exist, but the method of constructing them had to exist. And this is because they are made in a regular way on the word entry into the base sentences. That you have no other. Otherwise, every reduction would be something new again. They are only generalizable and regularizable in respect to the structure of base sentences. These are therefore stages in the formation of successively complex sentences. But there are other constraints in language also, which we have not discussed because they go beyond the formation of sentences. At least we've only touched upon some of them. And these are also information bearing. And these could develop only after sentences existed, even in reasonable complexity. I'll give one or two examples. There is only a small list of them altogether. One type is the permuted linearizations, the ones that I mentioned, the bringing of a word to the front of a sentence to make it the topic of the sentence. Another is the interrupting of a sentence after a given word with a subsidiary sentence which begins with the same word, making the subsidiary a modifier of the given word. This also is something which is very important. It is a real constraint. It does something very important. It creates modifiers. It had to develop after sentences already existed with reasonable complexity. Another kind of additional formation is the power of words to refer to words, which I discussed yesterday, which creates the meta power of language, the meta language, the say operator, and referentials, pronouns. Then there are constraints on sentence sequences. It'll take me a minute or so to explain this, but it is worth the trouble. If we take two sentences with a conjunction between them, then consider them like he went because it was late or something like that. If we consider such sentence pairs with a conjunction where there is no word repetition between the two sentences, no word is common to the two sentences, and where the sentence is peculiar or uncomfortable or unlikely, for example, I am writing this paper because tomorrow is Wednesday, which may sound foolish. I could make more foolish examples. This kind of sentence can be made more acceptable by conjoining another sentence which will contain one word from each of these two sentences with some verb connecting them. So to speak, explaining the connection, like saying, I am writing the paper because tomorrow is Wednesday and the paper is due Wednesday. And the paper is due Wednesday, which makes the whole thing quite sensible, repeated paper from the first sentence and Wednesday from the second sentence and connected them. Now, so much for raising the acceptability of a sentence pair when it's conjoined by bringing in word repetition if it isn't there. Now let us take the case of two sentences with a conjunction, which also have no word repeated between them, but which are fully acceptable. Like, I am going home because it is late, or something of that sort. In these cases, one can show that there always exists an adjoinable sentence which would complete the repetition in the same way by taking a word from each one and connecting them in the sentence. But it presents known information and is therefore zeroable by the considerations of the first lecture. That would be like if I said, I'm going home because it is late, and when it is late, one better go home, or something like that. I mean, some sentence about this. This, of course, is unnecessary because everybody knows it. But the fact that such a sentence always is available, always exists, shows that it could have been there and have been zeroed. I don't mean that it had to have been there, of course, that it really was there. We're discussing what are the potentialities of words and their relations, rather than what is the actual history of sentences and to what extent they were abbreviated. Now, I can give another example. And this is, if we consider all discourses, that is to say, all sequences of sentences which originated together. They were said or written by somebody without regard to whether they are foolish or not foolish, whether they make sense or don't make sense. In contrast to any arbitrary collection of sentences which was not born together, which you pull out by taking the first sentence of every 50th page in the encyclopedia or something like that. One finds a regularity in all the ones that are created as a discourse. Now, of course, by all, I mean 300, but 300 is all. In all such discourses, one can find a property to the sentence sequences, namely, that it is possible to establish at least two sets of words proper to the discourse, determined by the discourse itself. Words that repeat, word sets such that one or another word of the set repeats, but that they repeat in a fixed grammatical relation to each other. This is not just repetition, as we saw in the case of two sentences with a conjunction between them. This is a much, much stronger condition. It is that there are sets of words which, with a fixed grammatical relation to each other, such that this grammatical relation on these sets repeats very heavily, not in every single sentence of the discourse, but repeats very heavily in the discourse. Or it may repeat very heavily in a section of the discourse, and a later section of discourse would have other word sets in another grammatical relation. The thing is a fact. It is a constraint. It is a constraint on discourses. It is the meaning of being a discourse, as against being just a conglomeration of sentences. Now, there are yet further later constraints under specialized language conditions. I want to mention two or three. One is in mathematics, whose special power vis-à-vis language rests first on dispensing with likelihood differences in operator argument relations, and second, in the syntactic demands on proof, that is, that certain sentence sequences can be described as preventing loss of truth value. In science languages, we have the replacement of likelihood differences by subsets of arguments and subsets of operators in a way that reserves relevance in the language. That is, it precludes nonsense. A somewhat different kind of situation is the possibility, long discussed by Henry Heege, of formulating a relation, ultimately structural, between a sentence and its consequences, in such a way that would characterize the special sets of such sentences and would have a very important effect on what one can do with semantically with grammar.